Hello and welcome to Mellow Pod from the team behind Not Often Heard, where we look at Melodifestivalen, Sweden's show for selecting their entry for the Eurovision Song Contest. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
Right, so guys, we are on to week number two, semi-final two. Now, you know, semi one didn't have the best of starts, did it?
No, it didn't.
it was a little bit more meh Hull Fest last week.
Yeah. I mean, there were teething problems, weren't there? We had the app vote that crashed, and so they had to revert back to televote, and that kind of scuppered their whole voting plan, the whole sequence. It was a new production team, as we mentioned, now that Christer Björkman has left, so it was a mixture of old and new, so some new things were being tried. A last-minute change of venue as well due to restrictions in the country. So they were now finding themselves at the Globen in Stockholm instead of doing the tour. So lots of things working against them, really, that made it very challenging, I think, for that very first week. So, semi-final two. Did we see an improvement?
Yes.
Conversation over.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think there was definitely some stuff that was improved upon. I think we'll talk a bit about the changes later on, but, you know, considering the problem areas that we addressed last week, I think it's safe to say that they took notes on that and clearly made the necessary changes. Shall we say?
Yes, I think that's a good description. And you're right, because in the opening sequence, Oscar jokes about how he's been reading the reviews or getting feedback.
Oh my gosh, has he been reading the Google reviews? Don't do that to
and,
yourself. You
know, there was that kind of montage of all the things that went wrong the previous week, you know, where the outvote crashed and stuff.
Anyone who uses like YouTube or social media or anything like that will know, never read the comments. we barely just read the comments on this radio show, and obviously I'm not often heard.
Exactly. I think it was good that they actually just made light of it, and they were just like, yeah, okay, guys, last week was problematic. Things didn't go according to plan. But hey, you know what? You can only go up from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know if it was the editing or what, but when they did like that, I think it was only like a minute recap of the first week. You know, they showed all the little bits of clips from week one. The editing I thought was a bit weird. It was like some sort of weird fever dream almost. It was like it cut into like these really random bits. And then they just did the whole thing of that with a slow motion thing of that puppet with the big mouth just laughing. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
Perhaps reflecting the team's opinion that it was an absolute nightmare of a week. Anyway, we move on. And Oscar seems to have a bit of a co-host this week. Eva, off of Eva and Eva, is back.
Oh, yes. Talking of fever dreams. Flipping heck.
Oh, I really liked seeing Eva back again. And do you know what? It really made it clear that I think Oscar needs somebody to bounce off against. Mm. I think the dynamic he gets when he gets like responses and feedback from his little quips and jokes, I think he feeds off it. Mm. You know, he thrives off that kind of like banter, that back and forth. And I thought they had really good chemistry, actually, considering you're talking about, you know, a mid-20s young man, kind of like very popular compared to someone who's, I assume, must be in their 70s, 60s or 70s.
She'll be 79 next birthday.
Wow.
Birthday.
If I can do what she can do when I'm 79, I'll be well chuffed. I did like the Melody Carnivalen.
That was quite cool, but I do sort of. She does look like she's on some very good drugs, does it?
Proper Copacabana. I think it was really good. And I don't know if this was always planned or if it was, again, it's something they've learned from week one and they thought, it works better when, like when you said, Oscar's got somebody to bounce off. And even though he has got a co-host there, she's separated from him because she's doing the green room stuff. She's doing the artist interviews when they come off stage and stuff like that. So logistically, quite difficult, I suppose, to do all of that and get her to indulge in a bit of comedy with Oscar. And I think it was nice. I don't know if, it, as I said, I don't know if it was planned like that all along, that they were going to have somebody each week to accompany him from week two. Or has this been a rethink after what happened with week one? And I thought, we need somebody else here.
Yeah.
If it was a rethink, wow, they've worked their socks off to pull this together in the space of a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shall we move on to the songs?
Let's do that.
Okay, so we are back in Stockholm, still at the Globen because the tour was cancelled, and it looks like it's going to be that for all the semis.
Mm-hmm.
So song number one, Liamo with Bluffin'. Mm-hmm. Mark, what did you think?
I thought, actually, this overall was a great song. I really liked the performance. I thought he was very confident in the way he performed and danced around. Good staging as well. I like the Dalek extermination effect in the background. I think there's one thing that I know, Gary, that you'll agree with me here. Yeah. There's no real chorus. It's just, you know, repeating a sentence a couple of times isn't a chorus. The bridge up to the chorus I thought was fantastic. I thought, this is building to something. And then it was just like, oh, no, it's not. It builds up and then it just goes, meh, like a damp squib. But, yeah, I enjoyed this song. I thought it was very modern and current, while still feeling a bit new and different.
Mm. Alex, what did you think?
No, I agree with what Mark was saying. Like, as soon as we saw the chorus thing, like, knowing, having the history that the three of us have with watching Melfest and Eurovision, we were like, oh, Gary's going to hate this.
Gary's that predictable? Gonna hate the fact
that Gary's going to hate that there's no chorus on it. that is such a... It's a very modern thing to do. God, I sound so old, don't I?
You're not. we're aging you. Sorry, Alex.
It's fine. I'm turning 30 this year, so I'm practically dead socially anyway. But no, a lot of the stuff that Mark said, I agree with. I thought the build of it was really good. I thought he had a really sort of a cool collected energy about him, which worked really well for the song. And I really liked the lighting. It was the way it was all done. You had the stuff behind the stage, and then you had those two rows of lights that just sort of streaked along. It was very simple, but very striking staging.
Yes, I like that. And the pink and purple lighting. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me a bit of Benjamin Ingrosso and Dance You Off.
Yeah, I can see that.
That, and mainly because the fact they seem to have an aversion to showing the audience for some reason. On this one.
I didn't notice that, actually, but you're right.
Yeah.
A note on the audience. I know we're talking about the song, but have restrictions eased in Sweden? Because it felt like there were loads more people in the audience and there weren't as socially distanced.
Mm. Yes, I believe they have actually relaxed. They relaxed them before week one, actually.
Right. Okay.
But it was too late for them because they cancelled the tour and they'd already kind of arranged why they were going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they couldn't like bums on seats quick enough.
I think so, whereas they've been allowed to put a few more bums on a few more seats this week. It was by no means full.
No.
You can see. But yeah, you're right. You can see that everybody's sat much closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't got the social distancing. So it was nice that they've been able to kind of fill the hall a little bit more. And hopefully they will just build on that as the weeks go on. Okay, shall we move on to song number two, which is Nielo and Lisa Ajax, Tru du et jag blir mig. I've been practicing my pronunciation.
Oh, probably still got it wrong. A star for effort, though.
Yes, which I think translates as, do you think I care?
Yeah,
You're
right.
So, do we care?
You know what? It's a classic boy-girl pop song. You've got him doing a bit of rapping, her doing the singing. I do feel that he can't sing particularly well. He didn't feel like he was a very strong singer. He maybe, you know, he was stronger on the rap parts than the parts where he had to sing. But then on the flip side, Lisa, I know, who can sing very well, seemed to be getting quite a lot of help from the backing track on her bits. To the point where she was almost being drowned out, and she's a good singer. She doesn't need to be drowned out like that. But I it was all right. I liked it. I liked the kind of 60s pastel styling around it as well.
It sort of made me think it would be the sort of thing that H and Claire from Steps might have done.
Yeah.
Maybe not nowadays, but maybe like in the early Steps days, like maybe back when the band first broke up.
Yeah.
Like, God rest in peace.
Steps aren't dead, are they?
No.
Not been a terrible accident.
It was a sad day.
It was. Steps broke ruined up everybody's Christmas. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Mark. What did you think?
I really liked the performance. I think they sold it. I'll agree with what you said. I think the singing perhaps wasn't great. We were getting an anime theme tune vibe. And I really got the vibe of, can you remember from a few years ago, Dore Dos from Moldova, My Lucky Day?
Yeah, with all the doors slamming in and out and people going...
I got that theme. Do you know what? I like the fact that the performance and the staging almost told a bit of a story. Like a little music video. But yeah, I think the vocals perhaps weren't quite up to scratch. But still enjoyable, actually.
Well, one thing to note about the staging, I don't know if you noticed, but those hair dryers that the women were sitting under at the back of the stage are not hair dryers at all. They're IKEA lampshades. You can see them on the close-up. You look at them and go, that's a lamp. That's a lamp.
Well, can you even get those old-style hair dryers anymore?
Probably not.
Well, props department, probably, but you know what?
Yeah.
It gets the message across.
Oh, definitely.
And it was only on the second viewing that I looked at it and thought, that's a lampshade. I can see the fitting inside. Okay, song number three then. Samira Manas, I Want to Be Loved. God blimey.
Spoiler alert, you weren't.
Ooh. Oh, what did you think then, Alex?
Oh, I hated this. It was sort of, the vibes I got for it were a bit sort of Lily Allen-ish, but I just found it as much as it was just a bit folksy, a bit sort of a slow start. I describe this in terms of like the style and the outfit. It made me think of like some like alternative girl at uni performing in the student union.
Ooh, harsh. Harsh.
You know, all she was missing was like the girlfriend with the like one side of her head shaved. sorry, Samira.
Mark?
Oh, gosh. How do I follow that review up? I didn't really like it that much either. I couldn't get past the accent. It really was a stumbling block for me. And, you know, I get it. You've told me previously, Gary, that she has a British father, and obviously she's grown up in Sweden, so having a British father who, you know, might have a bit of a Cockney accent mixed with the Swedish accent could create an unusual thing. But it was a big stumbling block for me, and I just thought it was too slow to get started. Once it got started, it wasn't too bad. It picked up a bit. It reminded me a little bit of the performance to start with. Blanche from Belgium with City Lights, that kind of like rabbit in the headlights look a little bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was her first time doing Melfest, and she's a fairly new artist.
And, you know, she's clearly very young as well. So she's got a future ahead of her. You know, how professional it was when she dropped a guitar. And she carried on regardless.
I mean, for me, if you look past the Dick Van Dyke School of Cockney accent, it was nice to see Corduroy making a comeback. Do like a bit of cord. It's comfortable.
I
it's
do
warm.
Too, you know.
Yes, like a bit of cord. Very 70s style, that kind of yellow and brown. Felt very 70s.
Just the colour scheme you want to see.
It was a tad depressing, you know, singing about I Just Want to Be Loved. And like you said, an emotional performance. That was it a bit Rabbit in the Headlights? Or was he just really good at conveying the emotion of the song? I have to say, not my cup of tea. Shall we move on?
Let's do that.
Let's. Although, I know who's up next, so I have things to say about that too.
Okay. Alvaro Estrella, Suave. This is the third time in a row that Alvaro has participated in Melody Festival, and it's this year's Latin pop song, of course. Mark, you like a bit of Latin pop. What did you think?
You know what? It is Alvaro Estrella by numbers. It is Ricky Martin circa 1999, but I'm here for it. I love it.
Keep it with the theme from last week, Ricky Martin off eBay.
Yeah. And you know what? It helps. He's a good-looking bloke. He's got lovely arms. But I hated that crochet top.
Oh, my God.
It was hideous.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, knitwear.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Change that. You want something glitzy and spangly and sparkly. Or, you know, he needed a hat a little bit like what the backing dancers were wearing, kind of like that mariachi look.
Really?
Yeah,
mariachi look. I love that mariachi look. They were like, right, we're going with flames. It's going to be quite hot, so nobody wear your shirts, but keep your blazers on. Maybe also, the lighting did it no favors. Like, it just came out as this ugly, like, burgundy color.
Like he's performing from the depths of hell or something.
Yeah,
it's where it belongs. I'm sorry.
Acoustic.
It's not that it was a bad song, but the thing of it is, we've seen him do Eurovision how many times now? Three, four times.
Fourth time.
And every single song has been the same. Every single song has been this sort of dancey, Latin-y Ricky Martin. It did not work for you the first three times. Why would you do it a fourth? Switch it up. Give us something. Give us a, like a slow Latin song. Give us like almost sort of ballady.
I see what you mean.
Give us something different. Goodness sake.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same that. That's fine. If you want to have some Latin pop in there, why not? Go for it. Let's get some diverse range of styles. But is he really the only Latin pop act that's submitting songs to Melfest? They've had 2,500 songs submitted. I kind of feel that, is it the production team really on principle maybe should consider picking another artist just to get more variety and give a platform to other artists instead of picking him every year? Or you could argue, it's like, well, it shouldn't matter. If he's got a really good song that they think will do well, then there's no reason why he should be stopped from performing just because he's done it 2 years previously.
I'll put it to you this way. There have been many a boy band, many a male pop artist with very little talent who have managed to be successful by just being a pretty face.
True. It's just, I think it would be nice to see a different artist doing some Latin pop instead of, you know, Alvaro and his same old Spanglish tut that he's been peddling since 2020.
Yeah, let's face it. If you're going to make a choice between a Ricky Martin type and, say, like a Del Los Rio type, you're going to go for the Ricky Martin type every single day of the week.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I did like the little hats, though, in tribute to Spain 1990, I felt. Those ladies wore those kind of hats. And I like the Manuel moustaches that he made his backing dancers wear as well.
Well, they like the one they made Oscar have as well.
Yeah.
Before we go on to the next song, I know we've obviously in the background, we've got the episode playing. This guy who's with Oscar at the moment, I feel like I should know him.
He was one of the co-hosts last year with Pernilla Wahlgren. You know, where it all went, they did this comedy skit where it all fell apart and she was set light to and stuff.
That's right.
And everything crashed down. Pear.
Nah, I'd have known that, but we're having issues with our translation with Chrome. I knew him from somewhere. Sorry.
Yes. So they're doing a bit of business, a few gags about how this week they should have been in Gothenburg as the original plan, and Per is from Gothenburg, and so they're doing lots of gags about that and how he's such a great host, and Oscar's was a bit rubbish last week again. They keep going back to it.
I mean, I was distracted by not being able to understand what they were saying. I was also slightly distracted by the little girl in the grey beanie sort of leaning from behind Oscar with that smile on her face. Like, I'm starting to pick up a theme here. Like, we had that sort of demonic-looking child in the first episode. Now we've got this smiling alien child in a grey beanie. I'm calling this now, as we've got 3-4 more episodes of this to do. I think we should start putting up a creepy child alert. We should be on the lookout every time Oscar goes into the audience to see if there is a creepy child in each episode.
I have to admit, I have seen several shots of parents just looking absolutely miserable, like they don't want to be there, and they're only there because their kids beg them to take them.
Yep.
I suppose not everyone can like Malfest.
See, not everybody's like us. Obsessive. Okay, let's move on to song number 5. Browsing Collection, Face in the Crowd. I feel like we should have got a strobe warning for this one. If it was on the Beeb, we would have had. Yeah, because that is... trigger alert. It's a female rock band. Their name is Browsing Collection. I don't know if they're a fan of libraries, museums, or is this a Netflix thing? I'm not quite sure. But you know what? It was nice to see a female rock band. And it was not a bad tune at all, actually. I quite like this one.
Yeah, I really liked it too. It's nice again to see a bit of more alternative styles being added. I thought they did the really cool kind of glitchy TV effects alongside the song, which was very cool. They had a few little nice harmonies. My one comment on this would be, though, would we have had an entry like this even... considered.
True.
Yeah, no, considering that we've had, you know, Manskin.
Oh, yeah.
As winning from Italy. Would we have had this get in if it hadn't been for the success they had?
True. Yeah, maybe they're trying to ride that wave, because Manskin have continued to be very, very popular, haven't they, over the past year?
Yeah.
No letting up.
Almost like conquered America, even, haven't they? Been very popular even there.
What did you think, Mark?
I didn't mind it too much. As you say, it was nice to have another different genre in there. I thought it might have been a bit of a reaction to Måneskin from last year. I thought they had two very different vibes going on in different parts of the song. There was one where they were like very rocky and hard, and another bit where they went quite softly spoken and a bit slower. So that was a bit unusual, but it did make it stand out a bit. But I think the big thing for me was they tried to fit too many lyrics into the song, so it felt like to me they were singing too fast to try and fit everything into the rhythm,
right?
And they could have maybe they could have taken some of their lyrics out and given those lyrics to some other singers, like those that didn't have a chorus.
I don't know, because like with Manus, again going back to Maneskin's entry, there was a bit in the song where he's sort of speaking a really fast bit, and it kind of works for the style.
I think
in this case it is a question of taste. I know when we were watching it last night in our little group, there were very mixed views about Browsing Collection. So I think in this case it just comes down to taste. I liked them. Certainly more than some of the other entries.
Okay, song number 6 now. We have a returning face. John Lundvik. The winner from 2019 is back.
What a face it is.
No, I don't think any of us are going to forget that moment where they delivered the televote and he was smiling so confident that he'd won this and he was fine and he's going to take a victory home to Sweden. What do you mean the Netherlands have won? Just that look on his face.
The way his face just fell. It's a classic moment of Eurovision history.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? All credit to him. It's not put him off. He's back for another bite of the cherry. And this time he's in Swedish. Which is the translation of his song is literally it's angel guard, but probably means guardian angel, I think.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about here. What did you think, Alex?
Well, I was wondering when the, resident ballad of the evening would show up. And I'm glad that it came from John. You know, it's a good style. It's one that works really well for him. The wardrobe was an interesting choice.
So no socks and shoes.
No socks and shoes. Someone had clearly forgotten to do up all of his hems. It was all frayed around the bottom of his pants and around the collar.
Very unfinished.
But no. Knowing, John's done this a few times, he's won it once before, he's a definite favourite, I'd say.
So we shall see when we get to the results. Mark, what did you think?
I felt it was a very, very well-sung song. Just a little bit beige, like his outfit. It was, I think maybe if I could hear it in English, maybe understand the lyrics a bit more, it might resonate a little bit more with me. I just kept saying last night, he's got a really nice voice. When he sings, I know nice can be a little bit damning, but it's just a really nice, it's quite soothing in a way, his voice is. Really easy listening, which is lovely. And I think out of the song so far, I felt like his was probably the best sung song so far
right.
of the evening, as in the quality of the vocals.
A very confident performance, as you come to expect from John. A pleasant ballad, I thought. It just kind of ambles along through its verse and chorus. And then you get the big moment, and like you mentioned on one of the other songs earlier, it doesn't deliver. It builds up, and then you think, okay. It's not going where I thought it was going to be. Personally, I don't think it's a winner. And apparently he has got a new album out, so I wonder if this is a bit of a launch pad for the new album.
Might be.
Why not? It is the biggest show in the country.
Yeah.
You'd be stupid not to use it for promo.
Definitely.
So, should we move on to our final song of the night?
Yeah.
Which is Tone Sekelius and My Way. Okay, Mark, do you want to start us off with this one?
Wow. Loved it. Really, really loved it. I love the kind of like the start with the simple staging, the reveal of that Mac. The Mac, I thought, that's been done before, that long floaty dress thing. Mm. Different in the style of a trench coat, okay. But then the reveal to that really elegant ball gown that was really good. It was anthemic, it was uplifting. I just thought she did a fantastic job. And it was, it had a message. A little bit like Tussa did last year. A real good one. The only thing I didn't like about it, I suppose, the backing dancers were a bit pretentious.
Is it B-Tech drama again?
Yeah, but who would have helped her with the reveal?
That's true. She needed somebody there, didn't she?
You needed at least two people to move that coat.
Yeah.
Like, to paraphrase Mean Girls, there's a reason the coat's so big. It's full of secrets. And boy, did those secrets get a good reveal.
But I felt that the problem is that, yes, you know, as soon as I saw that coat, I thought, there's a reveal coming.
Did you? That's a drag, I didn't,
that
actually.
That's a drag race trick. There's no way she's going to go on in a trench coat like that, no, even if it is styled that way. And just the fact that I thought it held them back. The performance until the coat gets whipped off was quite static, because they didn't want to spoil the look. And maybe the way it was set up, it really meant that they couldn't move easily, because there was a chance it could ruin the effect. So
yeah, but once the coat came off, like her energy completely changed.
Oh yeah, I agree.
She was absolutely working that stage. It was a really sort of good. So again, it's one of those ones that sort of goes into sort of I classify into the LGBT anthem playlist. I also think as well that she's someone who is very clear on her references. Because I talked about this a bit with Mark when we were watching it. And I don't know if you noticed this, but with being sort of fan of The Crown and all the other stuff with the whole Princess Di thing, I thought the black look that she had underneath, it reminded me a lot of the Princess Diana Revenge dress in terms of the way it was... And the way it was cut, if you're wondering what I mean, look up the Revenge dress and you'll see what I'm on about. But it had that very similar look, and I was like, I think this woman knows her references. Like, it was good. She also had kind of the Michelle Visage streak in the hair. Interesting. I think the hair could have been a bit bigger, actually. It's like, if you're going to go like full whoosh.
Yeah, go full boof.
I think. I'll just say one more thing, then I'll let you talk, Gary. I'm not sure about how good she is vocally. I think she was being carried a lot by the backing track at times.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Not the strongest singer, but a competent performance.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, it's Melfest's first trans contestant, I believe. Mm. You're right, it's a message song. And we've seen those before at Melfest. Immediately, I think of Pink Pistols' I Am Somebody from 2014. Mm. Very similar vibe. It was, you know, standing up for your rights and championing a cause. This was, you know, those kind of things, but even more on the nose than that.
Definitely.
And just that massive... You know, exhaling at the end when the song was finished from them, and you think, I think they were saying to themselves, "I did it, I got through it, and it was good."
Yeah,
and they got a great reaction from the crowd. So I was, you know, that went down really well in the hall, and it was my favourite of the night as well.
Mm.
So that was our seven songs, and voting lines open, apps etc. had been open. Voting had been open for a while. So as Sweden starts to decide, we are treated to an eighth song.
My favourite one of the night.
As Eva is joined by Eva from Eva and Eva last year again, where they sang Renorama Ding Dong. So obviously we had Eva... co-presenting. Oops, nearly knocked my glass over. I'm getting so excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And the other Eva, storms on stage, finally, you know, getting the security guard who was holding her back out of the way to basically say, "You, boy, we're singing." Announce us.
I did think that Oscar did look a little bit like a wet tissue stood on that stage between the two Evas. So, like, what do I do? What's happening?
So we were treated to Renorama Ding Dong, the worldwide remix. Which was, you know, given some oomph, remixed, made into a bit of a dance tune, multilingual. English was in there, German was in there, I think a bit of Finnish as well, if I remember right. And
there was some Japanese as well.
Yes. It was such fun. It was ridiculously camp and over the top.
Yeah.
And that's what we love about Melfest, these kind of moments. Yeah.
It's the bit about this performance that got me was the guy on the left of the stage, how he was properly like strutting his stuff and like shaking his groins at Eva.
She didn't know what to do with herself.
I know, she was having none of it. The whole performance, she was just like, why am I still doing this? I want to go home. I just want to lie down on my own.
I made this 3 times last year.
I just want to get wrapped up in my blanket and get on with my knitting. I'm too old for this.
I think it was a lovely bit of fun for the interval.
It was great, yeah.
And you know what? If they don't release that, you know, as a single, even on Spotify and streaming, whatever, they're missing out on a trick. They need to release that one officially as a remix. Yeah. And I wonder if they'd maybe done that version last year, would it have got them into the final?
I mean, Eurovision does love a bit of 90s rave.
Very true.
Yeah.
Which we did get from those backup dancers. Like, their outfits were very sort of like underground rave in the 90s.
Yeah.
We start off with then part one of the new voting format, as the act with the highest votes at that current time, where the vote lines are frozen, is announced, and they go straight through to the final. And that was Liamo for this one. So he was leading the pack at that point. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think I can understand why he was the first direct till finale. Very current, as I said, very modern, while still seeming a bit new. And I can see why he would appeal. Absolutely.
True. So then they reopened the voting. So in a change to previous years, now we've got the full thing in swing. Because previously we would have seen the bottom two songs eliminated at that point. And they would have reopened the lines and said, okay, top five, or to play for, who do you want to go through? And off you go. So this time we announce, right, one song's already gone through. You can't vote for them anymore. Their place is secured. And then it's, right, you've got 6 songs left to vote on. Hit the phones, hit the app, off you go again. I don't know if that's a clever way, because now you've got 6 songs instead of 5. Is it a good way of raising more revenue because they have a line for charity where part of your core goes to Radio Yelpen? So maybe it's a really good way of raising a bit more cash.
Maybe, yeah.
Nice, and something different because it's been that kind of format for several years. We then had another interval act, which was we had Oscar and Eva doing a kind of All That Jazz parody. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk more about the puppet thing briefly. We're not the audience for this primarily, so perhaps these puppets are hugely popular or go down. This kind of thing goes down really well with the local audience. So this last week they talked about voting. Whoops. And the voting systems used. This week the puppets talked about scandals. And there was stuff like Carola's song being interrupted by a transmission failure, and was it Norwegian Satanists that nobbled the transmitter on the night? That's a bit of a reach, but okay. One of the presenters wearing his collar on his shirt flipped up so you could see his tie in a fashionable way, which apparently caused a flood of phone calls to SVT. But I just want to point out the very dirty man from 1980 or 1981, I think it was. He's got a T-shirt that says, try it, you'll like it. Then the number 69 below it. And then a picture of, well, some people, shall we say. How the hell did that get on screen in the early 80s?
Shocking.
Oh, my
Outrageous.
God. Oh, my God. That is just... Oh. Anyway, enough of the puppets. We move on to the voting sequence. So what they do now is because the app asks you to put your date of birth or your age, your year of birth, in when you register, it means they can actually get a breakdown of a per age group of the votes. So it just means that they can basically whiz through the votes per age group and deliver points Eurovision style. So it's become even more of a mini Eurovision than it already was.
Yeah.
So what Oscar does is go through each age group in turn from the app and announces who got the top 12 from that age group, and then the other scores flash up below it briefly on the scoreboard, so you get to see who scored what. So ages 3 to 9 are first. Oh, just a 3-year-old being let loose on a phone.
That's outrageous.
Tapping away. I like that one. And the 3 to 9-year-olds like Alvaro Estrella and Suave. Any surprise?
Yes, quite honestly, because they weren't alive in the late 90s, early noughties to experience the Latin pop sensations. So, I don't know, maybe they just thought, oh, maybe they liked his crochet jumper. Who knows?
But you'll notice as well, second on the list was Nielo and Lisa Ajax, a Swedish language song. And John Lundvik is third as well.
Yeah.
So if you bear in mind the kind of language skill, perhaps, and language knowledge of that that age group, that demographic, is it any surprise that the Swedish language songs are pushed a little bit higher?
Maybe not, actually.
Yeah.
Up the rankings.
From an education point of view, I do wonder, because I know like a lot of schools in England do sort of, even from a very young age, do a foreign language. I wonder whether Spanish is a common foreign language that's done in schools in Sweden. Because if that is, that would explain the appeal. Because it's a language they'll have heard.
True. And it wasn't mentioned in the show about there being quite a large kind of Latin population in areas of Sweden as well.
So maybe that's, I don't know, that might have something to do with it. I'm just throwing ideas at the wall to see what sticks.
So then Oscar then proceeds to go through the rest of the age groups, and it all gets a bit repetitive. Everybody gives John Lundvik 12 points, basically.
I mean,
bang.
It was a clean sweep for John, but like we said, John's the favourite. John's won Melfest before, he's almost won Eurovision. Like, he was definitely the favourite. Like, I'll be very interested to see when we get to the finale. Because obviously, John was the other one that made it direct to final.
Yep.
Like, how well that will go down. Like, will his previous success affect how people are going to vote, and is it just going to be a, have we already got a clear winner?
Yeah, I see what you mean, and I was a little surprised because it's a Swedish language song, and historically they've not done fantastically well at Melfest, but this was a clean sweep. Every single demographic apart from the youngest age group plus the televote as well all gave their 12 to John, delivering him straight to the finale. Our second chances then, when we look at the breakdown, I'll just bring the slide across so you can see.
There we go.
Suave goes to second chance with 69 points. And Tone Sekelius, 62 points my way, is also in the second chance round. Semi-5.
I'll still call it Ander Hansen. Because that's what it is!
Better than social media Rob referring to it as sudden death.
Interesting, looking at the scoreboard then. So, I Want to Be Loved, Samira Manners, came fifth, really, if we count Liamo.
Yeah, if we count Liamo.
Fifth with 35. So quite far down. You got 35, then you got Tone at 62. So it's quite a jump. Mm. Facing the crowd, Brass and Collection, 33. And then Yellow and Lisa Ajax, 21. So those three are quite closely grouped together. But then you can see, you know, the others. There's that quite clear gap, isn't there? Those three towards the bottom, the rest all much further up. And I don't think we've actually seen the points as such for Liamo. Maybe because the way... the problem is you can't really give him a score because he wasn't participating in the second half of the voting because he was already eliminated and through to the final, so he was taken out of the equation.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit unfair. They can't really show him a score, so that's the downside of doing it this way. But... overall, did you think it was exciting that we got that kind of build-up of points rather than just announcing who's gone through?
Go on, Alex.
No, I think it's certainly a nice idea to go with because I think something like Melfest is probably, for a lot of people, it's their first in... might be their first introduction into Eurovision is seeing the contest before they've even seen how Eurovision on the big scale works. So doing a scoring system that is similar to how it would be done for Eurovision, I think works really well because it gets like younger and newer viewers of the show.
Yeah,
more used to how the system works, so that by the time it gets to them actually watching the Eurovision Song Contest, it's not so confusing. They already have a base idea of how it's going to work, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the appeals of the contest for a lot of people. It's that race. It's the voting sequence. And you look at some of when they talk about viewing figures here in the UK, they do tend to actually take a bit of a peek, you know, and shoot up a little bit as the voting sequence comes in. Now it lasts over an hour. I'm not quite sure if it can sustain those high figures. But that is part of the appeal, isn't it? Because you see the songs, which is nice, but then we want to find out who's won. That's when the race really begins, when those votes come flying in. And we want to see those people inching up the scoreboard. And that's part of the excitement.
Yeah.
I think it would have been more exciting if it hadn't have been such a landslide to John Lundvik. Yeah. I think maybe they probably weren't expecting it to be like that. And if there had been a bit more variation, it would have been more exciting. But by the time you've got like the first three out of the way and they've all given the 12 points to John Lundvik, you kind of think, oh, well, hang on a minute. Unless there's a massive change now, a massive switch, with that first three or four, he's got it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I noticed that. Like after the first few, it was like, even if one of the pairs gets like a couple of 12s from it, there's no way they're gonna beat out John. But that's what I was saying before about, you know, he's won Melfest, he's come really high in Eurovision. Is that playing to his favour? People are like, all right, this is someone we can rely on to do really well. Shall we try to put him through?
He definitely went into that semi-final last night as the favourite. Definitely.
It'll be interesting to see how different the scoring might be for the future. Like, going to like the next few episodes and seeing it with someone who isn't a clear favourite. How about voting and how the scoring's going to change?
Mm. Well, that is a semi two. Done and dusted. Oh gosh, we've heard half of the songs. We've only got 14 more.
Oh no!
It's not fair. It's over too quickly. Right, that is it from us for this week. Please do join us next time when we will be looking at semi-final three and the runners and riders of Melody Festival, and let's see if we get something a little bit different. Right, until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.